Hey, Kevin, thinking about retirement?
I've thought about it, but it's too late for me to save.
With Avo, a retirement coach, it's never too late.
Where can I learn more?
Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com.
Chicago's sports station.
ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We're getting beat. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, we are all fired up, and we're really ready for a great Super Bowl. I don't know that that will be delivered, but we're ready for it.
Yeah, it reminds me of Super Bowl 19 when Dan Marino got there in his second season as a starter going against the 49ers, and there was a lot of hype, and this was finally going to be a great Super Bowl because we had all those years of just dreadful, boring blowout, more smothering than blowout type of games where you get into the third quarter and you're like, why am I watching this? And that ended up being that kind of game, and I think Mahomes, the most dynamic young quarterback we've seen since Marino, going against a 49ers team that looks very, very difficult to beat.
You know, Mike, Kyle Shanahan goes into Miami with memories from being the offensive coordinator for the Falcons in 28-3, certainly fresh in his memory. Andy Reid goes in never having won the big game. This week, heading into next week, whose burden is heavier as they go into Miami?
I think it's Andy Reid because Kyle Shanahan's on the front end. Andy Reid, 61. It's been 14 years since he last coached a team to a Super Bowl. That's the biggest gap that any coach who's ever been to two Super Bowls has had, other than Dick Vermeil, who had a pretty good excuse for going 19 years. He wasn't coaching at all for a big chunk of that. Reed's been going at it every year, every year, every year. So I feel like for him, the time to do it is now, especially with a young quarterback who is as good as he's ever going to be. I don't know that Patrick Mahomes is going to get much better. I don't think he can get much better. Maybe he can. But I think that when you have a guy like Mahomes, if you can establish a Super Bowl champion now, you really are on the front end of a potential dynasty. You know, I was speculating recently, what if Andy Reid wins and just decides that's it, I'm walking away? But why would he walk away when you've got Patrick Mahomes and you've got one of the best offenses we've ever seen? But I really do feel like Mahomes is going to, or Reid is feeling it a little bit more urgently because he's 61, and who knows how long he plans to keep doing this.
I was amused at the idea that Duke Tobin, the Bengals director of player personnel, said that the idea that Cincinnati won't trade the number one pick is news to me. Listen, it seems like a fait accompli that Joe Burrow is the guy and that he's going to be their guy, and it seems like a really good idea. But I guess you got to listen to everything, right? You got to. Yeah.
Absolutely. And when they leaked to ESPN this idea that they're not going to trade the number one pick no matter what the offer is, that's just not true, right? That is an effort to jack the offer as high as it can go. How many times do we hear a team say so-and-so isn't going to be traded? The Giants weren't going to trade Odell Beckham. The Jaguars weren't going to trade Jalen Ramsey. You have to say that to get the best possible return on that asset. That's why that's out there. And that's why when I see reports like that, I understand that there's news value in it, but I wish the reporters would be a little more honest with the audience and say, oh, by the way, teams say this crap all the time, and they still go on to make the trade. And I'm not saying the Bengals will, but there is an offer you can make the Bengals where they would say, we can't say no to it. We just can't. I mean, you could offer three first-round picks. You could offer three future drafts, your entire draft. You could do Ricky Williams times three. You telling me the Bengals would say no to that? Of course they wouldn't. This is all about getting the best possible offer on the table from someone so they can evaluate that offer versus Joe Burrow between now and late April.
Mike, after losing to the 49ers, Aaron Rodgers put the loss in perspective by saying, well, you know what? It was bad, but they had a lot of fun this year. And we remember what it was like to play football and have fun. Direct shot at Mike McCarthy. What did you make of that?
Oh, I was amazed by it because his demeanor, Aaron Rodgers, after the game. I mean, he looked like a grizzled old fisherman who just got in from 4 months out to sea, right? And I thought his press conference would be must see just because he was going to be miserable and he was going to have excuses and he was going to just come off as, you know, a guy who just feels beaten and I'm 36 and how in the hell are we ever going to be good enough to beat this 49ers team that feels like a juggernaut for years to come? But I was amazed by the things he was saying. He was very upbeat. He's optimistic. The window's open. He has a feeling that we're going to get one of these in our favor real soon. And when he said, this year's special because it became fun again, man, that's a shot not just at McCarthy, but it's a shot at Ted Thompson. The way they constructed that roster, draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop. Brian Gutekunst has gone out and brought in guys, and Aaron Rodgers rattled off the names of guys who came in and instantly became leaders and helped make it fun. And Matt LaFleur, what a great job as first-year head coach, empowering the players to do their thing. And yeah, when he said it became fun again, my first thought was, hey, Cowboys, good luck. Have fun. Because maybe you're not going to have fun once it's time to start playing games with Mike McCarthy as the head coach.
When Stefanski was named the coach in Cleveland, I think ESPN I was watching and they had Sean Payton on set and he was just very forthright. Like, yeah, well, you know, good luck to him. Basically, everybody knows it's impossible in Cleveland. Now you got Hugh Jackson coming out and basically saying that he shouldn't be judged on what happened in Cleveland. And I get where he's coming from because it seems like a train wreck for anyone. But I don't know anybody that's going to skate on the whole Cleveland thing.
Hey, if you got concerns about Cleveland, don't take the job.
Exactly.
Right? Don't take it. And I understand that when the window's open, you got to ask yourself, should I slide through it even if I don't like what may be on the other side, because this may be the only time the window ever opens for me, but don't go through it. And Hugh Jackson supposedly had alternatives, but who really knows what to believe when you've got friends in the media who are constantly hyping you like Hugh Jackson has in Mike Silver. Who knows what's true and what's not true? All I know is this. Hugh Jackson was abysmal with the Browns. And we saw a little bit of what he was like as a head coach in that meeting, that notorious meeting where he was arguing with Todd Haley about how much they protect veteran players during training camp. And he went very, very quickly to the "this is my show" card, which I'm a firm believer. If you have to go around reminding people that you're in charge, you really aren't in charge. And I look at it this way. He likes to tout the fact that they had a lot of close games when he was the coach. I think that actually hurts him, because I think a decent coach finds a way to win more than zero in 2017 or whatever year it was that completely bottomed out. 2017 when they went 0-16. So I think it is on him. And be careful what you wish for if you want to be a head coach. And if you think there's going to be a problem, you know, you interview the team as much as the team interviews you. And I think Josh McDaniels went in there and interviewed the Browns as much or more than the Browns interviewed him. And that may be one of the reasons why he's not the coach. And you know what? Maybe he wouldn't have taken the offer, because there are some problems there. And if you're going to take that job, no one's going to come in and say, oh, you stunk as a coach, but we're not going to blame you for the fact that you stunk.
Mike, how open-minded is Tom Brady really to playing in another NFL city? Because when he said that the other day, he teased a lot of fans in places like Chicago.
Here's the thing. Tom Brady, I think his future is going to be the biggest story since Peyton Manning in 2012, if not bigger. But in 2012, we kind of accepted that the Colts were moving on because they had the first overall pick and they were going to take Andrew Luck. So there was a lot more build-up. There was a lot more hype. There was a greater idea of Peyton Manning's going somewhere else. With Tom Brady, until it's clear he's not staying in New England, then this other stuff feels kind of, well, even more speculative than it would be. But I think there's a good chance he's not going to stay in New England. I think when it's time for the Patriots to make him an offer, if they ever even do, it's not going to be the kind of offer that he's looking for. And, you know, we know what happens from a tampering standpoint. Teams that are interested in Tom Brady reaching out informally, conversations that never happened with his agent Don Yee. They'll know, if they don't already know, what's going to be out there behind door number one, door number two, door number three. But here's the wild card, and this is why I think folks in Chicago shouldn't get their hopes up about a Tom Brady. And I don't know what you really want based on what we saw from Tom Brady last year. Was it the offense? Was it him? Was it a combination? his wife is a big factor in all of this. Where she wants to live, where she wants to be is a big factor in this. This is one of the reasons why I think they're leaving Boston. I think she doesn't want to be in Boston, and I think that her preferences will be one of the various factors that go into play here. You know, somebody mentioned to us not that long ago, hey, the Colts, that would be perfect for Tom Brady. Well, yeah, but Gisele Bündchen is not going to live in Indianapolis. All due respect to Indianapolis, she's not going to live there. So I think like an L.A., a Miami, keep an eye on Miami. Just keep an eye on Miami. That wouldn't surprise me if that ends up happening. That would be the ultimate Brett Favre type of a move where you stay in the division without the one-year detour to another team like Favre did. But it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up in a situation like that, understanding he's not looking for an immediate contender, but something that would take 2 or 3 years to build with the goal of getting a Super Bowl, walking off into the sunset 2 or 3 years from now.
Not that I care, but what happens in New England then? What do they do? Are they going to draft someone?
Well, look at all the veterans that are out there in free agency. And you know what I would do if I was New England? I would, if Drew Brees stays with the Saints, I would put together an offer sheet that the Saints can't match for Taysom Hill, and I would bring Taysom Hill to New England.
Oh,
because that guy's the best guy on the field. And think about all the mobile quarterbacks who have bedeviled the Patriots. At some point, don't you say, I mean, this is a new opportunity for them. They've had Tom Brady for 20 years, greatest quarterback ever, but he's not mobile. They have an opportunity to go get anyone they want. Wouldn't you want someone with some mobility? Doesn't that completely unlock an offense that currently is hard-pressed to get guys open down the field? Nothing's going to get guys open down the field like a quarterback who starts to run and the linebackers and the defensive backs start running in his direction and guys are left uncovered. So I'm fascinated by what's going to happen with Taysom Hill. And we're not talking enough about Drew Brees possibly not going back to the Saints. You know, he's got to decide to keep playing. And if he does, the Saints have to decide they want him. If you pay Drew Brees, you're not going to be able to sign Taysom Hill. And somebody's going to be willing to give up a first-round pick and make this guy their starter. You know, Sean Payton has compared the guy to Steve Young, and I don't think that's BS. In that playoff game against the Vikings, whenever he's on the field, you're looking at where he is. And Paul Allen, who calls the Vikings games for the Vikings Radio Network, there's a clip, the play when Drew Brees fumbles when in the fourth quarter when it looked like the Saints were going to go ahead. Before that snap, Paul Allen says, I can't believe I'm actually relieved Drew Brees is back in the game. I mean, that's what Taysom Hill does for an offense.
You mentioned Brees. We talked about Brady. What about Phillip Rivers? He's moving back to Florida. Where's his next home?
I think that Phillip Rivers is done, and I think Eli Manning is done. Here's why. Who's going to write him a check that screams out, you're our guy, not you're our Mike Glennon until we draft Mitch Trubisky, right? But you're our guy. And every year there's two or three guys that sign the contract, hold up the jersey, he's our guy for 5 weeks,
right?
And then they draft a first rounder. I don't think Rivers wants anything to do with that. I think the best chance for Rivers or for Eli is just sit back and wait and see if someone gets injured on a contending team, and then you can swoop in if they choose to go that route instead of going next man up. I mean, we've seen 3 years of next man up instead of Colin Kaepernick. It'll be interesting to see if teams go next man up or Phillip Rivers / Eli Manning getting a phone call. But I just don't see a team making the financial commitment to Phillip Rivers. Unless in this game of quarterback musical chairs that is about to play out in free agency, you know, let's say the Buccaneers overplay their hand with Jameis Winston and he says, screw you, I'm out. And then all of a sudden the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have no one. Then maybe that's where Rivers gets a landing spot. But I don't think he goes anywhere unless he is damn sure he's the guy all year long.
Hmm. Interesting to read about John Lynch saying that when they were at the Senior Bowl last year and they were coaching one of the teams, the South team, they went out to dinner and someone coined the phrase mobile to Miami they were gonna four win team to the Super Bowl. And they found players at that game. You can find guys at that game when you're coaching it.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, what the 49ers have found, and I think this is going to be something we hear about more for the incoming class, for the teams that have to deal with the 49ers. I think there is something to be said for the fact that since 2011, the number of live reps, tackling to the ground, full padded practices has decreased dramatically. And I think we see that when a team like the 49ers is running roughshod over an opposing defense. We saw it when Patrick Mahomes was doing his 27-yard run to the end zone, and you know, you have guys in the secondary who are afraid to go hit him. I think that the 49ers have found guys who don't need practice reps, hitting hard and tackling to the ground. They got a bunch of roughnecks who will go out and they will come at you. And I think they've done a great job of putting together on both sides of the ball guys like that with that George Kittle mentality. Hmm. I think there's going to be a premium on finding these guys who don't need to practice tackling and hitting and all the things they used to do all the time, who you can just press the button on, put them on the field on game day, and they'll go out there and get it done, because the 49ers have reintroduced a physicality to football that we haven't seen, and they're going against teams that don't practice that physicality. You need guys who don't need to practice the physicality.
That's great. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
See you guys.
Good stuff.
That is a great point that he makes there.
I love
you see
the idea.
Yeah.
The 49ers reintroducing physicality to football.
Boy, that means they're going to knock the snot out of
Too early to make
don't
that
ruin
pick
the
yet.
Good. No, we got plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
We can have initial impressions, but let's be careful about making a pick. All right, we're going to bring in Dan and Connor next, and we'll get a chance to talk to them. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Chicago's most listened to sports morning show, created in Chicago for Chicago. Mully and Haw, mornings 5 to 9 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. 2020 is officially underway, and if you're even considering buying a home this year, you need to act now. You need to be pre-approved by a strong mortgage lender like the Home Loan Expert. We have a full digital mortgage, lower rates on more loan programs, and we can get you closed and in your new dream home in 14 days. It's never too early to be pre-approved, and it only takes 5 minutes at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 3.